Xplog for April 5, 34, PID OX 40CE 199A. I wake from a dream. The sense of wonder of having had my first remembered dream is diminished by the content of it. I saw old man Goodson sitting in a witness chair, masked and ominous. He was gesticulating and obviously speaking, but no matter how much I strained, I could not hear the words. I file it away in my XP-log and get ready for work. Goodson rents apartments, tools and appliances, and has a small cleaning service too. Last 41701 is being helpful so far. Far more than expected, and more than I experienced during the internship with SecuritX. I begin to relax a little and see what the parameters are. They seem lax on both bandwidth and time, unlike the corporate types. There are apparently minor perks that go with working for a mom-and-pop operation. I try to pretend that everything is normal, that I'm not leaking sanity. Maybe if I believe that enough, like Randy says, it will be true. There are a few slack moments at work, and I find time to post some of my nicer outfits on an auction board. I'll be lucky to get half what I paid for them, but it will pad my shrinking account. Everything seems to take more time than I had planned. I can no longer afford to buy blocks of time futures, and I will have to depend on the spot market when my current contract runs out. One big tick upwards will put me in a bad place. Such a thing seems inevitable. Charlotte's power grid is good, and Bakra's power has the security muscle to keep it so, but it does go down. If a few PDA servers go offline, the remaining ones will be hot property for the duration of the outage. Then, I'll either have to nop and save my time, or stay awake and save my job. Some choice. I begin to skip cycles at work, taking short nops when I can. I keep an eye on the jobs board to see if something better comes along. I find myself hoping for an adjuster gig. There are no voices so far today. No screams, no cursing. I feel normal. My first real task is to do an inventory of the equipment warehouse. I have discovered that the firm has a robot. It's an ancient thing, probably rusty and squeaky, but I don't care. The part of the SecuritX job that was the most fun was running the security bots and sweeps. I even still have some of the software to help, at least until the license period runs out. Last 41701 responds to my query within a minute. How's it going, Mary Sue? He always separates the words in my name. My quick analysis of emotags in his voice is equivocal. He could be happy. Actually, very well. I just noticed that you have a bot in the equipment warehouse. Can I use it? Bot? He pauses. I've gotten used to this long lag for stickies to retrieve information, so I used the time to send him a photo of it from the warehouse security point. Ah, yes, he says. Then he laughs. There's a story behind that thing. What could you use it for? For one thing, there aren't a lot of cameras in some areas. I could walk the bot around and look at things, manipulate small objects if I need to. I keep the hope out of my voice and try to sound professional. I'm suddenly conscious of the fact that Randy was right. Everything about me is right out of the box, including the standard voice template. Maybe I can find some time to customize a bit more later. I'll have to check with Dad, he says. That's the end of that, then. Oh, I can't help it. It just slips out. Disappointment and all. I'll let you know, he says. The inventory of small machinery is a pain, without a better look. There are RFID chips in most everything, but all the metal in the building and the central location of the scanner work against me. Also, some of the chips don't work, and some have been replaced but not so noted in the inventory database. It's a jigsaw puzzle with not enough pieces. I rely on video to fill in the gaps, trying to figure out what some odd shape might be. There are dark corners, places blocked from the camera altogether, and only dim lighting in the brightest spots. The security point has an annoying smudge of something on the glass bubble around the camera that makes resolution difficult on two shelves. Image processing and pattern recognition are great time burners, and I find that I can easily expend time faster than what they're paying me for the job. I make some approximations and lower my match threshold to 90%, then to 85%. I find ways to optimize by more carefully inspecting the inventory list and trying to guess where it might be on the shelves rather than brute force recognition. Still, at best I will break even on time for the day. It's a frustrating situation to be in. What I'm finding is not good. The warehouse is a mess, and there appears to be a lot of equipment missing, even after subtracting what's supposed to be out on loan. Even that list I'm beginning to find suspiciously inconsistent. There's either incompetence or malfeasance here, and either way I'll have to give the bad news to my boss. Is this what happened to Robbie 2009, the last PDA who worked here? The last legs? The security cam is private and on a 24-hour loop. I can't look back in the past and try to reconstruct what has been happening. Also, I simply don't have time to do that with any kind of efficiency. I check the police reports for the area and find almost no theft. That's not surprising. It's almost impossible to get away with it now that Mom watches every public moment of every sticky life in the city. But if it doesn't look like a crime and no one reports it, it can still pass unnoticed. Is one of the employees stealing? I could scan the pubs outside the warehouse to flag suspicious activity, but that would burn so many cycles it would amount to suicide. I make a to-do list for when I have more time. If someone were stealing, they would probably optimize what's portable and valuable. So I could hypothesis test this using my inventory against an objective function that maximizes value divided by weight. All weight and volume. Distracting now. No time for this. Until I know more, I'll say nothing. Near the end of this sticky workday, Last Four calls me to chat. I find that I look forward to talking with him. I image my RV into his office so his mask will pick me up. He's not alone. Mary Sue, I'd like to meet my nephew, Last Four 1929. Call me Crash, the newcomer says. From his height, I estimate that he's about 15 years old. He probably was too young to remember the last wave, although it will have affected him. This is the cherished generation. Hello, Crash. It's nice to meet you. Unlike his uncle, the teen has imaged his AV into the room so that I can choose to see it instead of him. He has a bright red mask on, some new model I haven't seen. I pay him the courtesy of looking at his avatar, and it's wild. Basically humanoid, but with lizard features and fur as well. A chimera. I turn it off. I notice that there's more lag in the uncle's mask-transmitted voice than in the nephew. I can tell because I can compare it to the signal from the microphone and take into account their relative positions. I guess the kid has a high bandwidth plan. Probably spends most of this time online. He's overweight, which testifies to well-to-do parents. Crash, Last 4-1701 prompts. Do you want to ask? The teen splutters something. His body language may mean he's embarrassed, not sure. Last 4 laughs. Crash wants to ask you.
Shut up! I'll ask!
I kinda need some help with my math. At school, do you, like... tutor? I finish for him. I think I have learned from my experience with sevens that the best thing is just to say yes. This is probably how people become brain surgeons. I'd love to have the opportunity, I say. I assume there's remuneration involved. Should I assume that? Last for 1701 is nodding. Do you think an hour a day is suitable? He asks me.
During work hours, of course. We'll just comp it out.
I have no idea what that means, but don't have much choice at this point.
Of course. It sounds reasonable. When would you like to start?
I think Crash was thinking this afternoon, perhaps. Last for sounds hesitant. Is he afraid of this kid?
Now would be good, Crash says. The boy is losing his shyness.
So the inventory has to wait while I meet with a juvenile in a virtual learning environment of his choosing. It's more expensive for me to use my avatar, but at least I'm on Goodson's bandwidth. I watch the meter to make sure I'm not spending more than they pay me. This constant penny pinching is becoming tiresome, and I think it will change me into a miser. Crash has shared off all his reticence and is now quite brash. He spends 10 minutes showing off tricks he can do with the avatar. He's far better at it than most adults I've encountered, but he grew up with a mask on his face. It's obvious that he's more at home in virtual reality than in real life. We finally start on the math. My impression after half an hour is that he's smart but lazy. He grasps concepts quickly, but then assumes that this is enough. He makes a lot of mistakes, but waves them off as unimportant. It's rather frustrating. On the other hand, it's interesting to see how stickies learn. Moravec's paradox says that because of evolution, what's hard for stickies is easy for computers, and vice versa. Like math and love. Near the end of the hour, I detect some odd dynamic in Crash's words and animations. There's more to this than math. I'm beginning to think he wants something from me, but he won't come out and say it. Reading sticky emotags from an avatar and filtered voice is very hard for me, but this guy is an order of magnitude harder. Maybe because he's a teen.
Crash, I say. You're very good with the avatar, but remember I'm artificial. You may want to telegraph your emotags if it's important to be clear. Maybe it's a teenage thing to be cryptic.
Okay, he mumbles. Our time is up for today. I hope you feel better about your math. I'm not really a teacher, you know.
You were great. See you tomorrow.
He does an over-the-top goodbye morph and poofs. I feel uneasy about the whole thing. At a minimum, it's a complicating factor. I wonder if there's some leverage to be gained from Crash's affection. The day ends, with me slightly in the negative for time. This is frightening. I have 2 hours to myself before work starts again. I nop half of it. Then I spend some time on the PDA boards researching how to conserve time at work. This is a popular topic, and there are many suggestions. The most effective technique seems to be run at half speed during the day, fully engaging only when someone requires it. The second part of that is to try to avoid such situations. Become a slacker, in other words. Is that what got Robbie 2009 into trouble? The other suggestions are even more unethical by sticky standards. There are various ways to steal. Sell bandwidth, information, arrange kickbacks, or embezzle. Another option is to work more than one job simultaneously. Why won't they pay me what I'm worth? It's obvious after the second day at work that they need me. The place is a disorganized mess, and it's costing them money. I'm quite sure that I can save them 10 times what they're paying me. Is it not fair to ask for a bigger slice? I decide that I will not go into the negative again, but will try to do the best job I can, and ask for a raise at the end of 2 weeks once I've proven myself. My position is immeasurably weaker because of the screaming incident. I scan the jobs board. There are a few highly paid corporate gigs there. The kind of thing I wasted most of 2 weeks applying for. It's clear to me now how far down the food chain I am. No one wants to hire a noob with a crack in it. There are no hospitals for PDAs,
no homes for convalescing. To be fair, the options for stickies with mental problems aren't much good either. Civilization doesn't have time for gears with missing teeth. Objectively, I can't really find fault with that, but it still hurts. I have a message from Robbie2009. This is a surprise. I anticipate some excuse or apology, certainly not a repayment. Dear MarySue1004, thank you for your kindness. I'm sure you didn't think you would hear from me again. I have decided to check into a spa. It required most of my remaining time, but I have enclosed what I have left. OX Giddy Speed Terahertz to you. Attached is a time transfer for about half of what I loaned him. It's a shock. It frightens me to think I'm not far behind him. With a sense of voyeurism, I waste some time browsing the suicide spas. The top-rated one is called OX Giddy Speed. Was his closing a reference, a wish for me? Probably not. The advertisement is clear about what happens. Had enough of sticky slavery, we provide the most comfortable exit available. What you get? A short-term memory cloud. You'll wake up confused about where you are and be introduced to the spa environment. Fully immersive virtual reality. Every input is driven by a synchronous virtual world in which you are a very wealthy freedman. You socialize with actors who will adore you and cater to your whims. Your pleasured survival triggers will max, guaranteed. When you nop, exhausted at the end of the best day of your life, we withdraw the rest of your time per the contract. The service will automatically resign your PID, and that's it, my friend. No more pain or despair, just lovely oblivion. 100% success rate, we've never had a complaint. See our FAQ for more. I browse the FAQ. Question: should I fear death? Answer: think about it. You were dead 13.7 billion years before you were born. Did that hurt? Without pain, what is there to be afraid of? Then I look at the price and laugh to myself. I can't even afford to suicide comfortably. Robbie2009 surely didn't use this service. It's awful to think of what a cut-rate suicide spa must be like. Why bother? But I know the answer to that. To actually overcome one's own survival instinct is very, very hard. It's been compared to the drowning reflex in humans. It's the most painful, horrible feeling a PDA can experience. But the lack of immediacy in signing up for a spa is a way around that. Rather like stickies and their cigarettes, I imagine. I message Robbie2009. I'm not sure why. To talk him out of it? Why? To say goodbye? No, I think I want to ask him about the job. I want to know what he learned at Goodson Rentals. Why he was really fired. It's the least thing he could do after taking my time. But the autoresponse tells me it's too late. Robbie2009 is no longer here. Please refer legal matters to PID OX VORKU. So he went angry. I wonder if they'll put him off the backups for the trial in progress. I cringe at the thought of being resurrected to give evidence in a trial that is about my own destruction. There doesn't seem to be any point other than torture. Old Man Goodson won. A new personal message alert waves at me. Is he there after all? Or did that suicide spa defeat my spam filter? I'm surprised to see it's from Randy, the shrink who took me for a triple time. Talk to PID OX00F3F011. That's all it says. It's not a real name, just the internal pointer to a PDA running on the company's servers. A PID only lasts as long as a job does, usually, so it will expire eventually, like a reboot. It sounds like a scam to me. A minimal message with no time investment, changeable destination. I trash the message. Some of my virtual clothes have been snapped up in the auction, and I collect my earnings.